the lying liars who lie and keep lying and now lie about liars who don't lie about what they're lying about. This is the news according to me. Good morning. I know that sounded complicated. It is Wednesday morning, finally. I'm finally back on the show. It is March 8th, 2023, Wednesday, 7:47 a.m. on the Wednesday morning, the Wednesday. We have a lot to talk about this morning. I am all riled up. I haven't had a chance to talk and do my therapy. This talking for me on this podcast is more therapy than anything else, even if nobody's listening. It's just my opportunity to vent, to be all riled up and just rant for a while and pretend like people are listening to me. I know that people are listening because I can, at least they're clicking on it. I know that because I can see that there are people have clicked on this thing. A steady number, which means either there's just a steady random number of people clicking accidentally every day, or people are actually listening to this show, which is kind of fun to think that that's happening. What's surprising to me is even on the days I have not, like Monday and Tuesday, I didn't have a show, and my listenership is still up there. It's not too bad. So it's either the CIA is clicking in to figure out what I'm doing, or the intelligence agencies. So they're sort of surveilling me because, I'm a huge threat. You know me. I got a lot of power. Yeah. We're going to get into some things. Boy, wow. I'm hoping that this release of the tapes and the whole January 6th thing is going to unravel into the charade that it is. Hopefully it will be exposed for what it is. Now, the left is having a hysterical, just a fit now. And we'll get into this because there's just so much to talk about. I probably won't be able to talk about all of it. I'm sure I'm going to go down some bunny trails and lose my train of thought. It's because it's one of those days. I probably need to spend the rest of the week talking about it. And I do have some audio clips to play. One of them's a little bit lengthy. It's Schumer's response to the Tucker Carlson thing about January 6th. But that's going to hold most of the show is going to be about January 6th. The other issue, because there's so many principal issues, foundational issues wrapped up in this. Not just what happened and what's happening with the January 6th thing, but the whole process of what's happening here is important to look into and not just see, the rhetoric on the outside, but what is actually happening here foundationally, behind the scenes. I think this is important to see, to try to take a step back and think about. And we can't think about any of those things. We can't move forward with any of that until we know what is in my cup. I have a typical of what I normally have. I have my chai. I'm back home again in the home studio here, which is going to change. I have new routers now, and this is going to change some things. For one, I think my speeds are going to be increased tremendously, which means I believe I will be able to do more live broadcasting. Now, on Friday, I'm actually going to attempt to broadcast live on Friday and actually do a video broadcast as well on Rumble. That's the plan. We'll see how this works out. But in the meantime, I have my chai in my cup and my vanilla creamer. You might guess, but it would take you a long time to guess. I won't say you'll never guess, but it'll take you a long time to guess what is in my backup. I have a backup this morning. That's where the mystery now lies. It's not so much what's in my cup, it's what the backup is. Now, if I'm on the road, by the way, I'm going to be spending a lot of time down in Dallas the next few weeks. It looks like about the next 4 weeks, possibly five, I will be in Dallas a lot. Starting on Sunday evening, I'll be in Dallas, and that will continue from then on. Mostly just home on the weekends for a while. So at least about 4 weeks looks like. It could be longer, but it's going to be ridiculous. And then at that point, probably sometime in the at the end of April, middle of April, I should be able to be back home more again at that point. There was a time when this kind of training that I was going through back in the early days would take a month. I was gone for a month straight. I was in another country for a month, a little over a month, actually, doing training. And that was a brutal, that was brutal time to be away. It's just not easy. So then this time, at least I can come home on the weekends, that kind of thing. It's not too bad, but it's, I still have to be away quite a bit. It's quite an immersive training program. Hopefully get it all done. Kind of the pressure's kind of on. So we'll see how it goes. We have a lot to talk about today. Well, the backup thing. It's not even a cup. The backup is not even a cup. And hopefully it's still okay. This is it's a company called Crystal Springs Creamery. They put milk in glass jars. It's right here in the area. And it's I think it's in Osceola, Indiana. We actually like their milk. I think the thing that makes it different, the biggest thing, I don't know if you've noticed, if you put anything in a plastic container for very long, it tends to, the plastic flavor gets into the milk and it kind of ruins it. And it's, of course, there's sometimes I'll buy a jug of milk and it'll last for 2 weeks, which I don't understand how that works. Sometimes more than 2 weeks and it still smells okay, which is weird. Well beyond the sell date point, which is also out there quite a ways. And this stuff, it's in glass jars. They sell it in glass jars. And it tastes better. It just tastes like milk. I use it for my cereal. I use it for, you know, when I'm eating cookies. And yeah, I'm over 60 years old and I still eat dairy products. So, you know, if you're a doctor, go away. I don't care. I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to eat cheese. That's what it is. I will probably die with a piece of cheese in my mouth. That's my plan. That's my goal. My goal in life is to die with a piece of cheese in my mouth. I have chocolate milk, actually, here in my bottle. This is a small bottle. It's like a quart size, I think. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. That's probably a quart. And it's chocolate milk in a glass jar, glass bottle, which is really good. I got a little bit left. I thought I'd finish it up here on the show this morning. I'm just going to take a swig of it here. Yeah, it's okay. It's still okay. It's chocolatey goodness. That's what they call it. I still have my chai here. I didn't drink that yet. It's getting kind of cold though. All right, it's cool enough. All right, folks, we're going to dive into this. I've got some audio that I want to play. I've got three clips here. We have a few things to talk about this whole January 6th thing and some of the things that Tucker Carlson's bringing up. First of all, the whole process of this January 6th thing and what's causing so much angst among the left. Now, we've got to get into this because you have to understand the whole January 6th commission was a production. They hired TV producers to come in. People from ABC News. The producer from ABC, actually, he wasn't even ABC News producer. He was just ABC. He was a producer that produced things from ABC. They hired him to come in and create this video that they played over and over and over. I think the full video that they played for the commission lasted about 10 minutes. It might not even lasted 10 minutes. I was thinking for some reason it was 6 minutes, but I think that was the cut down version. And then they had these little snippets that they would play. It was like a 1 minute version that they would play of this whole thing. Out of 40,000 hours, over 40,000 hours of recorded video from the security area and all the things that were around there. Now, a lot of the video that the January 6th commission presented wasn't even in the security video. It was, strangely enough, video from people's phones and other video, what I'll talk about, from that day. Now, I'm what you call a pro amateur when it comes to video stuff. I do a lot of audio work. I've done a fair bit of video editing. I've got Final Cut Pro. I've got all kinds of plugins. I do all kinds of things. I can do things with video. Now, I'm not in practice as much as I was. I'm not as efficient as I used to be. But I understand editing. I understand production. I've been involved in some movie theater stuff. I've been around those kinds of things. I'm not what you call a professional, but I've had some exposure to these things. And I understand cuts and focus pulls, all the things that happen in the shooting of a film and the editing of a what brings about a certain feel in certain shots that they try to get. I've been on set when they were filming movies. I kind of understand what they're doing. I've also been involved in marketing video work. I do a lot of voiceover work, so I end up having to scan a lot of video to fit in so that the audio will fit in with the video. I hear the producers talking about how they're going to, the message they want to portray and how they're going to do that and how they do that with the video. The message that speaks, it's kind of like body language in video, if you want to call it that. It's kind of has that kind of a tone. You can watch a video, sometimes a commercial. You can watch the commercial without hearing the audio and kind of get a feel and a vibe for what they're talking about, what they're trying to portray, because there's this body language built into the production of that video, of that commercial. It's the same thing that the January 6th Commission, this is everything that they did. I recognize it as nothing but a production number. It is all made for TV. They didn't care about getting to the facts. This was not a court of law. There was no cross-examination. It was, we're here to tell you the facts. And it was, and 90% of their facts were based on emotional reactions and triggers. If you look into this. And just people coming out and saying, that person's lying. If someone is accused of lying by a certain individual, then that person was lying. If an expert comes out and says, they're lying. Then they're lying now. No evidence. Nothing to the contrary. No solid facts to prove that they were lying. They're just lying. Oh, you're a liar. Okay, they're a liar now. This is the kind of thing that was going on. It's called a kangaroo court. It's where they have a presupposed agenda. And they lay out their facts, which are not facts. There's no evidence. It's all based on supposition, conjecture, and sculpatory, not exculpatory. It's sculpatory evidence. And what do they call that other kind of evidence? It's coincidental kind of thing. So let's get into this, because I'm going to try to contain myself. I find myself when I'm listening to some of these people talk, I get very upset. I found myself raising my voice in response to some of the things that have been said, especially by the head of the Senate, Chuck Schumer. And then I got even more infuriated by the minority leader in the Senate and what he said about this whole thing. You want to talk about riling up? Now, they think that they saw an insurrection on January 6th. That's what they keep calling it, an insurrection. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked at the definition of the word insurrection. Maybe we need to do that this morning. I'm gonna pull that up as we're listening to some of these clips, because that way I won't waste your time. But I don't even know how to spell it. Insurrection. There it is, right there. It's right there. I spelled it right. We're gonna look into it a little bit later. And really see if this is really what happened here. And I think Tucker Carlson's whole point is that they're calling this something that it was not, simply for the idea of making it seem a lot worse than it was. Tucker Carlson was not condoning anything that these people did. but he's trying to strike down this idea of using a broad brush to just paint these all of these people as evil. Now, in the process, of this January 6th commission and everything that they did, they produced this movie. Getting back to this whole thing about this little movie they produced. One of the things that they did in this, in the filming of this, is they used film, and this is really odd to me. Some of the quality of some of this video is over the top. I mean, it's better than iPhone technology quality with some of the filming that they did. People in the crowd, apparently, when you look at it, it's now there's also other people filming on the others on the police line, film videos that came from the police line that is obviously being held because they're shaking the hands, that kind of thing. It's not stabilized footage. If I were making a movie about a riot, they did exactly what I would have to do to make it look like, to bring the action right into your face. One of the things you'll notice is that in much of the footage, they keep the camera down low. They don't have the camera up high. They have the camera down low, actually waist level almost in some cases. Who walks around with their phone at waist level in a crowd when they're filming something? The camera is jostled around for moments between cuts. Now, there are what they call hard cuts from one thing to the next, because it makes the synergy there, the energy there that goes from one cut, hard cut to another, is different than a fade, or even a cross dissolve. So they're going these hard cuts, and they're going from one hard cut to the next, and it's always 3 or 4 seconds, not very much. In fact, if that, it sometimes it's less than that. Sometimes it's just a second or two of video, which again adds to the level of energy. I can take a 1 minute event and I can cover it with multiple angles and different techniques of covering it with several different cameras for that 1 minute. I can stretch that out to 10 minutes of video footage that you would think there was a knockdown, drag out, action-packed film going on for that 10-minute fight scene. This is what they do in movies, in action movies, action heroes. You can have what should be a 1 minute fight, or less than 1 minute. It was how it would last in real life. When you see these highly technical, you know, these guys that are really good at fighting each other, they're going on and on for 5 minutes in this fight scene. I guarantee you, in real life, that's not going to happen. When you are fighting for your life, I know this may be a little bit gruesome for some people. You see, MMA, this is where MMA, don't get me wrong, these guys are tough. And they're fast and they're quick and they can defend themselves and they can hurt you. But there are still rules in MMA. When you start gouging someone's eyes, when you start driving your thumbs into their throat, there are things that you can do. When biting, for instance, you bite the nose of a person who's there in front in your face, or you bite into their arm. These are things that they're not allowed to do in MMA that I guarantee you would change the outcome of that fight. If one person was allowed to bite, eye gouge, throat, rip, the match might be a little different. It would turn out, if one person was allowed to do that and the other person wasn't, guarantee you, if in general they were both in the same kind of category of fighter, I can guarantee you who's going to win that fight. Because there is an advantage to being able to do that. In real world fighting, when you're defending your life, that's all fair. There's no rules anymore. It's not a brawl anymore. It's not about kicking and punching. In fact, I used to teach my students, sometimes if you can't get away, the next best thing is to get in their face. If you have an attacker, most people, if they grab, you know, get their arm grabbed, they try to run away, they try to pull away. That's what the attacker expects them to do. The attacker does not expect you to get in their face. All of a sudden, you're in their face, biting their nose, biting their throat. And I'm not talking about biting it, I'm talking about taking chunks of it out. All of a sudden, your thumbs are going through their eyeballs. You've heard the old adage, best defense is good offense. You become the aggressor until that aggression from him, from the other person, the attacker, him or her, will be fair, gender fair here. They, until they back off. You don't execute judgment or punishment. But you do what it takes to stop the attack. Now, you have to be tenacious to do that. You have to have a certain resolve in your belly to be that person who's able or willing even to do that. Most people just want the situation to go away. No, you've got to deal with the situation. You've got to get in its face. You've got to become the worst thing this guy... You've got to become the worst decision this guy ever made. This person. Now, I say all of that because the way they depict this thing, the way they go through this video stuff, they're not showing the actual acts of violence that they claim happened. How many times did Liz Cheney say that this was an armed insurrection? She went over and over and over this statement. It was like a prepared, memorized statement. Donald Trump incited an armed insurrection, told them to march down to the Capitol and kill everybody and take over the government. That's basically, she didn't say that. That's not what she said. But she kept going on with this whole thing about this armed insurrection. She used the word armed insurrection. Someone simply carrying a flag with a pole was an armed insurrectionist because that pole is a weapon. It's not really a weapon until you use it as a weapon. Could be a weapon. It's a potential weapon. So we heard from this January 6th commission who was looking into this whole thing for months and months and months, over a year. They all sit up there on their board, all smug and pompous. In their righteous little thrones, day after day, telling us how hideous and insidious this event was on January 6th, that our democracy was in the balance. We almost lost our democracy that day. These armed insurrectionists, they keep telling us. Tucker continues to point out these insurrectionists who had no guns, by the way. Going to take on the U.S. government with no guns. That's great. Good plan there. Now, I have no doubt there's just so much here. It's so rich with stuff that needs to be discussed. The fact that they've been able to cover this up for so long, and one of the reasons they did this, one of the reasons that they are able to cover it up so long is because they stretched it out over a period of time. Memories start to fade. People start to just, they don't care anymore. They're back, they're on to the next thing. We've got bigger things going on right now. We got a war, almost a world war that's starting to break out. That we're continuing to fuel and fan the flames of. We're not working. You don't hear this administration talking about how we're going to bring about peace in Ukraine. That's who's talking about that? Nobody on the left or the right. Well, there's a few people. These people are warmongers. They're making money from the industrial military complex. I heard a report last night about how many arms they're selling. Right, they can't. These arms dealers, the arms manufacturers, right now they're running at full capacity to make enough stuff to send over there. We are extremely low. I think we've used up about a third of our armament right now. We're down. Now think about that. Are we going to be able to maintain a fight now with China or with anybody else that breaks out and happens to want to fight us somewhere or attacks us? We just discovered, intelligence sources now, there's an official report now that, it looks like the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up by pro-Ukrainian factions. That's what we're calling ourselves now. You see, Biden's got us in a tight spot right now because what has happened is we can't admit that we did it because that will tick off Germany. Of course, they didn't like Trump for telling them that they shouldn't buy oil and gas from Russia. Oh, you're just an isolationist. How dare you? And then Russia invades Ukraine. And they're stuck having to buy their fuel and their oil, and their gas. And maybe they allowed it. Maybe they said, hey, yeah, go ahead and blow it up. That way it takes us off the hook and we'll blame Russia for it. And it looked like, we were going to buy fuel from you, but now we can't. Sorry. It's not our fault. Somebody blew it up. And that somebody just happened to be us. Or NATO factions. It's whether or not we actually did it or not, I don't know. I don't know. All right, I'm into the chocolate milk now. So that's one of the things that is happening, is this whole issue with that stuff. Now, I want to get into, first I want to talk a little bit about Ray Epps. Getting back to the January 6th thing. Ray Epps. I know he's been tossed around a lot in this whole process of everything that's gone on. Now, I want to be very clear here. I don't know Ray Epps. I've heard an awful lot about the guy. I've seen a lot of video of him interacting with different individuals. Video that doesn't lie. Doesn't need audio. Here he is walking with absolutely a part of certain organizations. He's absolutely had to be a member and a part of certain organizations to be where he was at the time he was there. He was marching with people from the Oath Keepers. This guy's been involved in a lot of organizations. Which, again, smells. It just smells. As in a stinks. It stinks. One of the things that he did was this whole thing about January 5th, what he did on January 5th. He was actively out in the street trying to recruit people to go into the Capitol on the next day. We have to go into the Capitol. He's wearing this MAGA hat that looks brand new. Obviously, he's been wearing that a lot. Got camo boots on, the whole thing. He's got, it looks like a military guy. He's got his little camelback backpack on. It's it's amazing to me. Of course, everybody around him is yelling, Fed, 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 Fed. Who does this? Who just goes down to the crowd? Well, my son and I, we just decided, hey, let's go down to the Capitol tomorrow. Let's see what's going down over there. Now, there's nothing on his Facebook page about being pro-Trump, nothing about being, MAGA guy. in social. He had no presence in social media that had indicated any kind of support for Trump at all. So you go all of a sudden this guy's down the street. I just came down to look at the Capitol and see what was going to happen. I'd have found myself outside telling people to go into the Capitol. I was trying to recruit people. I just happened to have my military boots and all my stuff on. And I just happened to show up the next day, right down there where they were, beating up against the wall, beating up against the gates, telling them to storm the thing, telling kids, I didn't go inside. No, I wouldn't go inside. I was telling others we have to go into the Capitol, but I didn't go inside. How perfect. Then we got Jamie Raskin. Bless him. He's got a brain problem, cancer issue, whatever it is. I think he's making more out of it than it is. I don't know. He seems to be playing it for everything it's worth. He's wearing a big bandana on his head. Is that a thing? I guess that's a thing. I don't know. My dad had cancer. He didn't wear a bandana on his head. I'm just trying to figure this out. I don't know. Is it a normal thing? Is it a symbol? Is it like wearing a ribbon? No? Or is he wearing it for medical reasons to cover something? Does he have a big open wound there he's trying to cover up? I don't know. Most people wear a hat. Wearing this bandana thing on his head. I don't know. That's what he always does. Anyway, I'm just saying it seems a little bit overt. So here's the deal. Here's what's happening here now. We've got Raskin, who apparently he hates everybody who participated in the January 6th thing, except for this guy. This poor schmuck that everybody's picking on. Listen to how he defends this guy. Why is he defending this guy, but nobody else? I can't think of anybody else on January 6th who was on that side of the line is willing to say, hey, why are you picking on these people? Why are you picking on all these people? They're just poor schmucks trying to get through life. When have you heard this kind of language about anybody in the crowd? This is the same guy who basically said anybody who was there should be shot. I mean, that's how. Now, he didn't say that, but some of these pundits have said that. Shoot them all. They've said things like that. They got no problem with Bobbitt being shot. No problem. She was just a poor schmuck trying to get through her day. No, she was a violent insurrectionist. But the guy who whispers into somebody's ear and seconds later goes in a beeline straight from there to grabbing the barricade and pulling it out of police officer's hands. Actually ends up on the other side of the thing. And it's really weird. It's a weird thing that happens right after that. But this poor schmuck's just trying to get through. He just happened to be strolling through the Capitol that day on his way to get a hamburger. Why are you picking on this guy? This is basically what Raskin is. This is more suspicious than anything I've ever heard of in my life. Because it's so out of character from everything else that this guy has said about anybody who was there at the Capitol that day. You don't hear him defending anybody else like this. Let's listen to this guy and what he says.
Mr. Epps was in front of the January 6th committee, and we were told that a transcript of his interview would be released, but it's never been released.
You guys are trying to make this poor schmuck who showed up to your protest into something a lot bigger than he is. Okay? He's just trying to survive, and he's on your side.
This poor schmuck trying to make something out bigger than it is. He's not sitting in a jail. There were things that he texted his family that were extremely incriminating. But he had an excuse. Well, I wasn't there. I was already home when I texted those things. I was already. But then the timestamp. Of course, now we're finding out because of the video that was released. No, he was still there. when he texted those things. He lied to this commission. He lied to them. Are they going to throw him in jail? You think they're going to throw him in jail? They threw other people in jail for this. Oh, he's just a poor schmuck trying to get through his day.
There aren't many voters left. You might want to try to hang on to them without demonizing and vilifying your own people. You guys ever read the book by Mary Trump about the way that Donald Trump is absolutely...
Now, he goes into this thing about Mary Trump's book and how Donald Trump destroyed their family. I guarantee you I know who destroyed their family. It wasn't Donald Trump. Mary Trump is the golden child on the left. Somebody paid her to write this book. And I guarantee you it's embellishment. I guarantee you. Because she's made out to be a star on the left. And she loves it. She loves the attention. I don't know why. You have to ask yourself, what is the motivation for Mary Trump to write a book about this, all this stuff? What would be the motivation for that? What would motivate me to write a book about one of my siblings if they were a troublemaker in our family? Would I just go out and write the book? Or would somebody come to me and say, hey, if you write a book about this? There's other motivations going on here and all the notoriety and the fame that she gets from this. Let's continue on here with what Raskins is saying. He goes on to this whole thing about the book and Mary Trump. And, of course, they've interviewed her ad nauseum on MSNBC and CNN.
Destroyed their family? Wrecked her father's life?
By the way, that's not a crime. There are plenty of other politicians who have been much worse. You could say the same thing about them, at least. I'm going to talk about Joe Biden, what he's done to his family. We could talk about that all day. But supposedly that's okay. Well, it's just old Joe.
They do it to family. They do it to friends. They do it to their own associates and employees. And now you guys are doing it to this poor Ray Epps. Leave that guy alone, whoever he is.
Leave that guy alone, whoever he is. We don't know who he is. Just leave him alone. We don't know who he is. Not that I know who he is or anything. We don't know anything about him. Just leave him alone. You guys are picking on your own side. Why would they care? When have they ever cared about Republicans picking on Republicans? They lavish in that, the Republican Party is tearing itself apart. Why are they defending? Why is Raskin defending this guy? They never defend Republicans, unless they're Liz Cheney. They won't even defend Mitt Romney, and he's on their side. Adam Kinzinger. They're useful idiots. They don't even realize how useful they are. They don't realize how much of an idiot they are. Because... they're being used. Well, look, even these Republicans are saying that. Look at these. Even these Republicans are calling you a liar. They're not Republicans. They are called rhinos. Republicans in name only. So this goes on. You have to ask yourself, what is Raskin, does he really think he's going to get away with this? You really think you're going to be able to stand up and defend a Republican after all you do all day long is vilify these people. And it sticks out like a sore thumb when you try to defend one of them. And try to tell Republicans not to attack them. And they're not really attacking the guy. All they're saying is, this guy's a Fed. This something smells here. This stinks. Why is this guy? And why is this guy getting off? And why are you defending him? Why are you getting so vehement about it? From the congressional floor. Speaking of the congressional floor. This is where we get into Chuck Schumer's statements. Now, it's one thing for Chuck Schumer. It's one thing for a politician, for a congressperson, to say things at a press conference or in front of a newscaster, someone asking them questions. That's one level of lying to the American people. That's one level of it. What really infuriates me and really bothers me is when someone does that on the Senate floor. Or on the congressional floor, the House floor. Because now it's going into the record. And now you are speaking, when you're speaking on behalf of your constituents, the people you represent. I guarantee you, I don't care who my representative is, Republican or Democrat, if they stand on the congressional floor and they're telling lies, they're doing that in my name because they're representing me. I'm going to call them out. And I have. I've gone after, in fact, I've almost never have written to any Democrats. But I've written some scathing letters to some Republicans, letting them know how I felt about their poor performance on the floor. Because it was unethical what they did. And they don't speak for me when they say what they said. Because what they said was a lie. I've let them know that. I have only once gotten a response back from one of those people. Otherwise, I hear nothing from them ever again, other than they want money for their next, you know, whatever they're going through. We need to fight them off, so we need more money to fight them off. No, you just need to vote. I've already voted for you. You've got my vote. Now go do your job. You're getting paid. You're getting my money in the form of, you know, tax money to pay your salary. Now go do your job. Now, if you want me to convince other people to vote for you, then do your job, and I'll try to convince other people to vote for you. Otherwise, I'm not going to say anything to anybody else about voting for you until you do your job. If you do your job, I'll endorse you. I'll tell other people about you and tell you, hey, this person actually is doing what they're doing. Because they say what they mean. But until then, there's nothing more you're going to get from me. Another penny more. Sorry. I've got plenty of other people out there that need support. There are plenty of homeless people in my county, thanks to you, that need my support. I'm going to help them before I pay any more money for your campaign that you're just going to dish out of, swindle money from, to pay off people. Ooh, that's kind of interesting. That's my jug here, my chocolate milk jug. It's kind of like a whole new effect I've got. Okay, so anyway, the butterfly. The old ADD's kicking in. Apparently it likes chocolate milk. The interesting thing, though, that happens here is we get these people on the Senate floor or on the House floor reading into the record statements like this, and it just infuriates me. And we're going to go through what Schumer says, and we're going to talk about what McConnell said, which even makes me even more angry. And I'm probably going to shout. That's why I'm going to save it for last, because I hopefully won't have time to do all the shouting. We've only got about another 20 minutes left for this particular program. So we're going to go to the Schumer thing now. Hopefully the audio is okay on this, because it was kind of screwed up as I was trying to transfer it over. But we'll see what it does. Schumer goes into this whole long thing. It's several minutes long. So we're going to, as we listen to it, I'm probably going to stop and pause it a few times just so I have to play it back again to make my comments, because he makes some statements here that just infuriate me. And if it infuriates me, I'm a hard guy. It's hard to get me really angry. Like really, really angry. I can get angry inside, but I can control myself. Like out of control angry. I don't get out of control angry. But at some point, we want to talk about inciting a riot. This guy, what he's saying, the way he's saying it is, it's like somebody spitting in my face is what I feel like. That's what I feel like this is. And the fact that it's Schumer's spit is even worse, because he's just disgusting. This guy's slimy as slimy can be. He's the slimiest, one of the slimiest swamp creatures on the planet. There's plenty of them, apparently, on both sides of the aisle. But we're gonna get into this. Let's listen to Chuck Schumer here and see what he has to say here. Oh, I didn't edit that part out. Yeah, sorry. Let me edit that part out. Here we go. This is from Global News Network.
Last night, millions of Americans tuned in to one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television.
Last night, millions of Americans In fact, I'm gonna play this a little differently. I'm gonna put this on a different kind of player here because this is a little bit easier to.
Millions of Americans tuned in to one of the most shameful hours we have ever seen on cable television.
Really? One of the most shameful hours we've ever seen on cable television. One of the most shameful. That's a big statement there, Chucky. Think about how one of the most shameful hours on cable television. Well, explain to us why, Chuck. Why were they so shameful?
With contempt for the facts, disregard of the risks, and knowing full well he was lying to his audience.
Contempt for the facts, disregard for the risks, and knowing that he was lying. This describes 99% of what Chuck Schumer does every time he speaks. This guy is a total fraud, and he knows it. He's a liar who lies, and he knows he's lying. Total disregard for any. This is the guy who came out on a Sunday morning show prior to Trump being elected, and he said, well, intelligence agencies have six ways a Sunday to come after you if you cross them. Gee, isn't that interesting how he said that, and then it happened. Gee, Chuck, maybe you're being manipulated by the intelligence agencies as well, because they've actually got dirt on you. He knows from firsthand experience what he's talking about here, I think. And here he is. Still there talking. Calling others liars. Oh, you're lying. This isn't what happened. Well, okay, prove it to us then, Chuck. How are you going to prove
Fox
it?
Fox News host Tucker Carlson ran a lengthy segment last night arguing the January 6th Capitol attack was not a violent insurrection.
Okay. That's what he did. He argued that it was not a violent insurrection. And he had video proof of things that were going on. First of all, let's look at the term insurrection. What is the definition of insurrection? The act or an instance of an open revolt against civil authority or a constituted government. Now, part of this definition has been changed. I looked at this before, by the way. I looked at this before 9/11, or before January 6th, and they actually have changed this somewhat. So it's a rising up or an uprising. The act of rising against civil authority or governmental restraint, specifically the armed resistance of a number of persons to the power of the state, incipient or limited rebellion. That's not what we had on January 6th. None of this falls into that. Now, the second term there, a rising up, uprising. You could consider it a little bit of that, but their intent was not to take over the government. They were not planning on putting somebody else in power, stepping in there and inserting someone else into power. What they wanted was a stop to the Electoral College. This needs to be stopped until we fix this. Now, if you've watched 2,000 Mules, I still have yet to watch that. I've kind of determined myself I'm going to go ahead and watch that in the next week or so. A friend of mine actually has the video, and he's going to show it to me. He bought it, I guess. I'm concerned that I'm going to be very frustrated, very upset when I watch it. Anyway, we need to fix the thing. And now since then, the reason that this has become the big lie they keep saying the big lie that they keep referring to when they talk about the big lie. He promotes the big lie. He doesn't believe the you know, whatever, the big lie, big lie. The big lie is that the election was a fraud. It was a fraudulent election. Oh, that's a lie. That's the lie that they keep promoting, the big lie. This election was the most pristine we've ever had in the nation's history. But they're concerned about the next one. As long as they win, they don't care. It's always the most pristine. They're still claiming there was fraudulent stuff happened on the 2020 election because they lost the House. Because the voter rights were taken away, even though more people voted than ever. Well, the Supreme Court, or the state Supreme Courts in many of these states have determined that, yes, laws were broken. They broke the law back in 2020. Things were not handled legally. In other words, it was illegal the way they counted, the way they did some of the voting in some of these states. There's no repercussion. There's no going back to that. They can't fix it. But you can't admit to it. You can say, yes, laws were broken. Things were done wrong. It was an illegal election. Now, who would have won if it was legal? I don't know. Can't determine that. But to say that it was a big lie is now the lie. It is the narrative that they continue to promote. And it is wrong. It's absolutely false. They can't keep using it, but they do.
By diving deep into the waters of conspiracy.
Deep into the waters of conspiracy. By showing actual video. Now, listen to some of the words he uses here. It gets really interesting.
From thousands of hours of security footage, Mr. Carlson told the...
Oh, he cherry picks. So I think he says he cherry picks here. So we can move this over here.
Security footage. And cherry-picking.
Cherry-picking.
From thousands of hours of...
Cherry-picking from thousands of hours of security footage. Isn't that exactly what the January 6th Commission did? In fact, they not only cherry-picked it, they produced it. They didn't just show the video. They produced it. Like I said, they used clips from one thing to the next to make it seem like it had more energy, to seem like the violence was even greater than it was. This gets back to this whole thing I was talking about producing movies and how you can take 1 minute of an event and turn it into this incredibly violent, intense thing. Now, one of the other things that I do is I listen to music or listen to the, not listen to me, I listen to music. One of the things I do, I listen to the sound behind some of the things that are going on in the video. Very subtly, it's very interesting how a lot of people do not realize how much music and background noise they interject into video, film, video, and even sitcoms. How much background noise they put in. Laugh tracks, all the other things that are happening there. And people don't really notice. It just kind of goes along. They just kind of go along with it. They don't even realize it's there. Most scenes in most movies have music playing in the background of some kind. It's sometimes very, very, very subtle. And other times it's very overt. I mean, when you have an intense video, you know, this intense scene where someone's being chased, I guarantee you there's music playing. And it's intense music. Sometimes the lack of music or the lack of background noise brings about a certain atmosphere to the film, to the movie, to the scene. So they'll actually make it no noise, no voice, no nothing at all in the background. There are this is the way it works. Now, what they've done with these videos, the way they produced it, if you listen very carefully, well, one thing you can do is turn off the audio, just watch the video. See what it looks like without any kind of... That's a little trick that you can... Because it takes your mind off of that, it doesn't have an effect on your mind. It stops tricking your mind into any kind of intensity there. Just look at the video without any audio. Then you just listen to the audio without any video and try to pick out all the different parts. I can do this with music when I'm trying to help somebody produce a little, like when they're trying to record some music tracks. We'll take one track out. We'll just mute one track, or we'll just solo one track. What does this actually sound like here? What do we play in the background? Find out that it sounds terrible. You can't really hear it in the mix, but it sounds terrible. But when you put it in the mix, you don't realize how bad it sounds, but that's what's making your whole mix in that track sound bad. Something's out of tune, whatever it is. It's not being played correctly. So that's the kind of thing you can do with the whole thing, but you can do that with your mind as well. You can isolate certain sounds and certain tones. You can concentrate on focusing on certain frequencies or certain things that are being said, music, tones, whatever it is. You're focusing on that particular thing as you're listening to that audio. And I've done that with this January 6th video. They have added things. They've added noises. They've added background sounds. There's frequencies there that don't show up in natural life. That cause tension. It's weird how these frequencies are showing. You can run a frequency meter on the thing. If you take the video, put it in your little analyzer, you'll find that there's this background. It's a rumbling sound, which brings tension. Different frequencies bring certain tension. It's all there. Surprised nobody's brought it up before. Talk about manipulation and fraudulence. Tucker wasn't doing any of that. Where was Chuck Schumer up there on the Senate floor saying this kind of stuff when the January 6th Commission was out there promoting their little video?
Security footage. Mr. Carlson told the bold-faced lie that the Capitol attack, which we all saw with our own eyes, was somehow not an attack at all.
It wasn't an attack. We all saw it with our own eyes. Well, we saw it through the eyes of the January 6th Commission. There was some violent people there. There were some violent things that were done. The question is, who really did those things? Because the people they've got in prison right now are not the ones we saw at the Capitol pulling the barricades away. Those aren't the same people. This one kid, Jason or Jay, whatever his name is, the shaman, he wasn't violent at all that day. He was walking around. They show him all over the place, just walking, standing around. And this is before the footage was even released. They show him standing over two other people, standing in front of some guards, and the guards finally said, "Okay, you guys can come in." He never once pushed anything down, pushed down a door, did anything like that. 4 years in prison.
He tried to argue it was nothing more than a peaceful sightseeing tour. Can you imagine? A nonviolent demonstration.
By the way, that is not what Tucker said. He didn't say that January 6th was nothing more than that. What he said was the majority of people that were in the Capitol that day were there to see. It was like a sightseeing tour. And it was. He was showing the video. They were all taking selfies. They were walking around revering the place, straightening the place up. There was stuff that was knocked down. People were straightening it up. He's lying about someone else lying. That's what he's doing here. He's twisting the words that Tucker said. Amazingly enough.
A perfectly fine and appropriate instance of people expressing their opinion. I, so many others who were here in the Capitol, and millions of Americans are just furious.
They're just furious.
With Tucker Carlson and Kevin McCarthy today.
Oh, here we go.
Many of my staff were here at the Capitol on January 6th. Their lives were put in danger. As were the lives of many of my colleagues, as well as police, maintenance staff, reporters, countless others. At one point, I was within 30 feet of the rioters.
Okay, listen to this. He's within 30 feet of the rioters, Listen to what he says about this. Listen very carefully.
One of them, I was told, shouted out, let's get him.
One of them, he was told, shouted out, let's get him. Somebody's 30 feet away from you and they shout out, let's get him. And you didn't hear it. Do you have a hearing problem, Mr. Schumer? Somebody else told you that. And you don't know who he was talking about. Did you just assume they were talking about you? Maybe they were talking about AOC, because I thought they just all wanted to kill AOC. Or where's Nancy? Did you hear him say, where's Nancy? That's an insurrectionist thing, apparently.
Before my detail pulled me away, and we ran in the other direction.
They ran in the other direction. My detail pulled me away. Pulled me away. My detail pulled me away. You have a detail around you all the time. Is that the case? And they pulled you away, and you ran in the other direction. I mean, that's very key when you hear what he did later, what the January 6th Commission said about Josh Hawley. He ran in the other direction.
To say January 6th was not violent is a lie pure and simple.
Okay, it was not violent, it was a lie. So where, just because you were running away, because your detail pulled you aside and you ran away, it was violent. Who exactly was hurt that day, by the way? Oh, Officer Sicknick, the one you... laid in state in the rotunda. You put his body in the rotunda, laid him in state as a victim of January 6th when he died of a stroke the next day. He was beaten with a fire extinguisher. Never happened. No one's ever been charged with that. With all the security video they have, no one has ever been charged with his murder because he didn't get murdered. Yet they had the audacity to lay him in state in the rotunda. Despicable! If I would have been his brother, his father, or his son, I would have objected and had his body hauled out of that rotunda. I wouldn't have allowed it to be placed there. He was used as a political pawn, which infuriates me. It sickens me to my heart to think that they did that to somebody. This guy was an officer. He deserved better honor than that. They thought they were giving him honor. No, that they were not. They're the ones who are dishonored in this. He deserved all the honor in the world for serving the way he did. But no, what they did was dishonoring, and they dishonored themselves by doing it. They didn't dishonor him. They dishonored him themselves by using him as a pawn. They will stop at nothing. The end justifies the means of these people, and it was disgusting and filthy what they did, in my opinion. So nothing sacred about it. They desecrated the man, in my opinion. They'll pay for this. What amazes me most about all this, I guess, and what I want to be very clear about is this. I shudder and I shake on behalf of these people, knowing what they will face someday. My hope and my prayer is that they repent, that they apologize, that they make public everything that they've done wrong, that they as openly as they have accused, that they would as openly repent and confess. Because guess what? There's no arguing with the one at the end. You can stand up and shake your fist all you want to in his face. All the arguments and all the bitterness and hatred will be silenced with one word. It will be over. Done. You will have your chance to defend yourself. I have no defense other than the one who is my defender. I'm going to keep silent and let him make that decision. Because I'm the guilty one. I know I am. I've confessed that. And I have put my faith in the only one who is my advocate. I'm believing in his promise. I've got nothing to hide. These people have a lot to hide, and they will not be able to hide it on that day. It will be exposed, and we will know every single thing. And they will try to justify every single despicable thing that they've ever done. And that's not going to work in the face of a holy God. Let's carry on.
I don't think I've ever seen a primetime cable news anchor manipulate his viewers the way Mr. Carlson did last night.
You've apparently never watched MSNBC or CNN. For 5 years, we heard nothing but Russia, Russia, Russia. We heard nothing but this was an illegitimate president. The Russians hacked our elections. They influenced our elections. That's all we heard about. Trump wouldn't have won without the Russians. He's a Russian stooge. He's a Russian, nothing but Russia, 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 Russia. Hunter Biden, his laptop. Oh, Russian. It was Russian disinformation. Has all the earmarks. Russia, Russia, Russia. Oh, maybe it was real. A lab leak of the virus. No, you're an insurrection. You're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, maybe it was real. But Tucker Carlson shows video of actual events and has commentary on it. And he's despicable and disgusting, and he's the worst person in the world. It's the worst thing that's ever happened on cable news. Really. Most manipulative thing you've ever seen on cable news. Really. Seriously. You haven't watched, apparently, much news lately. In fact, it's amazing to me how Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about the terrorist attack from hundreds of people, over 100 people, attacking a police facility in Atlanta, a construction zone. They're building a training center. They went and destroyed a bunch of equipment. And Karine was asked about it 2 days later and had no knowledge of it and didn't know what happened. What are you talking about? Didn't know what happened. An orchestrated terrorist attack. It was a terrorist attack. Because if you look at the definition of terrorism, it was exactly that. They've arrested 23 people out of the 120-some people. What's scary is that there's mobs of more than 100 people doing these kinds of things. And of course, most of them were, because they were all upset about being near the black community. And guess who all the people who were there doing it? It was majority white, leftist, George Soros probably funded people. How do you organize something like that? How do you organize something that large with that many people and the FBI doesn't know about it, but they know about somebody else at a school board meeting? Well, it's because they're doing things in the dark and we can't see at night. So they're only doing those, the people who are out there on the streets protesting the abortion clinics are doing it in daylight. Do you realize what you're saying here? Those who operate and do things in the dark and those who operate and do things in the daylight. Who do you think's on the right side of this issue? Well, we have a hard time finding them. I can't even imitate the AG's voice, and I don't even want to try because it's too wicked.
I don't think I've ever seen an anchor treat the American people and American democracy with such disdain.
Let me tell you.
He's going to come back.
Let me get back to this. Oh, what's this?
Tonight with another segment.
He's coming back tonight, so don't go to sleep. Make sure you hide under your covers. He's coming back tonight with more. This is despicable. It's just absolutely despicable. Let's go back and listen to this again.
Seen an anchor treat the American people and American democracy with such disdain.
He's never seen an American... even though he does it every day, and he's doing it right now.
And he's going to come back tonight with
back
another
tonight.
Segment.
Ooh, he's coming for another
Fox
segment.
Fox News should tell him not to.
Okay,
Fox
this is from the
News,
Senate floor.
Rupert Murdoch, tell Carlson not to run a second segment of lies. You know it's...
Excuse me, Mr. Schumer, are you telling a news organization what they can and cannot put on live television, on television? Is that what you're doing? From the Senate floor. We're coming for you, Gorsuch. You will reap the whirlwind. Really? You're going to say this from the Senate floor? You're going to tell a news organization what they can and cannot put on television.
Lie. You've admitted it's a lie. And Speaker McCarthy is every bit as culpable.
Here we go.
As Mr. Carlson. Speaker McCarthy's decision to share security footage with Fox looked like a mistake from the very beginning.
Why do you suppose there are millions of people watching Tucker Carlson, by the way, brings this up. Millions of people will watch again tonight. He's deceiving all these millions of people. Why do you suppose there are millions of people tuning in? If the American people really didn't believe this stuff and weren't supportive of this kind of activity, why do you suppose they would continue to vote by listening to it? By the way, millions of people don't tune in to watch anybody on CNN. Tucker Carlson's got he's got the biggest audience right now of anybody. Why do you suppose that is? Maybe because people trust him. Maybe it's because they hear him speaking for them. Maybe that's the problem. Chucky, I guarantee you, millions of people are not going to listen to you do your little speech there on the House floor. But you're going to call for him to be shut down. Because you, sir, are the liar.
But after last night, it looks like a disaster. Speaker McCarthy has played a treacherous game by catering to the hard right. He's enabled the big lie.
The big lie.
And has further eroded away at our precious democracy. When people don't believe elections are on the level, that's the beginning of the end.
What if they aren't on the level? Not just about believing they're on the level. What about if they're not on the level, Chuck? We're finding out now, folks, that there was a whole lot more going on. There's a lot larger things happening. But every time they'll say, oh, but there was no widespread voter fraud. Really? None of that. Really? No widespread voter fraud. Okay. Oh, okay. We'll believe you because you say it. Because that's what we're going to say. And they wonder why nobody's thrilled about this guy.
Of this bold experiment in democracy.
It's a bold experiment in democracy.
That has gone on for more than 200 years.
Without you,
it's all
by the
more
way.
Shameful.
Yeah, it is.
Because Speaker McCarthy knows precisely what kind of customer Mr. Carlson is. He's not surprised by this outcome.
You know, this kind of makes me wonder. It does kind of surprise me that what's his name? McCarthy did this, actually. It really surprises me. And one of the reasons I think that he did it is because he's seen into this thing now. I think he's seen behind the curtain. McCarthy has been a little bit different than what I thought he would be. Now, I'm not sure what kind of game he's playing. He could be playing the game. But he certainly has stepped up to the plate here. And by giving this stuff to Carlson, this actually gives me some hope for McCarthy. Because he knows if anybody's going to handle this stuff with integrity, it's going to be Tucker Carlson. He didn't give it to Sean Hannity. That would have concerned me. Giving it to MSNBC or CNN, they would have used everything in their power. They would have done exactly the things they're accusing Tucker Carlson of doing. They're the ones who use production facilities and all kinds of weird stuff. All the editing, they're the ones who do that stuff. And they're accusing Tucker of doing that. He's not doing any of that. He's just showing the video, unedited.
What a low point.
What a low point.
For Speaker McCarthy.
For Speaker McCarthy.
What a low point for Fox News.
This is the most despicable thing.
Reporting on the Dominion
most disgusting guy
shows,
in the Senate, in my
Mr.
opinion.
Mr. Carlson Greasy's. Had no problem admitting behind the scenes that the big lie is pure garbage. When Sidney Powell went on the air to push the stolen election narrative, Mr. Carlson told fellow anchor Laura Ingraham that Sidney Powell is lying. His words by the deposition. Mr. Carlson's own producer texted him that, quote, I don't think there is evidence of voter fraud that swung the election.
Tucker Carlson's producer said, I don't think there's evidence. Just because you don't think there's evidence doesn't mean it didn't happen. He's not an investigator. He's a TV producer. Bill Barr came out the day after the election and basically said, oh, there's no evidence. Oh, really? What? You had a team working on it? Did you have what kind of investigation did you put on that? I think I've discussed this before. Well, let's see the budget that was put to enacted. It was enabled to vote to look at this voter fraud. Oh, we have a documentarian who just came out with a movie about incredible voter fraud. And oh, you didn't know about any of that, Mr. Barr, hello. Where's your investigative team? Who's the staff that you put on that? Who was assigned with the duties of investigating voter fraud? Did they work with Mr. D'Souza? Apparently not.
They know full well they've been lying.
No.
And they're doing it anyway.
They know you're lying.
We
calling
all,
them liars.
Americans.
Oh, we know.
All types.
All types.
And corners of this country. Democrats, Republicans, Independents.
We all know. Yeah.
Need to take a stand.
We need to take a stand against this kind of thing, or you're just showing us the video.
A dangerous, unforgivable attempt to destabilize our democracy and rewrite the history of the worst attack on our Constitution.
This guy's despicable.
Since the Civil War.
Yeah, right.
It's an insult to every police officer who was on the scene that terrible, fearful day.
Terrible, fearful day.
To the memory of every single person who perished in connection to the attack, especially to the memory of Brian Sicknick. Nonviolent.
Oh, here we go.
Ask the Sicknick family.
Here we go.
It makes me sick just thinking
about. He died of a stroke. It was a violent stroke.
Must be going through this morning.
How despicable this guy is.
And it's an insult to everyone who cares about our democracy and wishes to preserve the dream of our founders in our day, in our age. I hope every member of this chamber will call out Fox and Mr. Carlson for defending the insurrectionists. And again, I am disappointed and angered.
I'm going to play more of this. I'm going way, way, way over time at this point. And there's still a couple minutes. There's one more minute left. I really want to get to McConnell's response because this is important as well. Let's listen to Chuck McConnell.
My concern is how it was depicted, which is a different issue. Clearly, the chief of the Capitol Police, in my view, correctly describes what most of us witnessed firsthand.
Now, keep in mind, he's saying the chief of the Capitol Police describes exactly what happened from what we those of us who experienced it firsthand. Now, the chief of the Capitol Police, by the way, that who was chief that day, resigned within days afterwards. And they appointed someone else in that position who now works in California at a university as the head of security there. That's the lady they put into place to testify what happened that day. But the guy who was actually there, they didn't ask to testify in January 6th Commission. Isn't that amazing? He's got a different story to tell. He's been interviewed by several news organizations now, and claiming that he was raising the alarm bells on the 4th and the 5th, and nobody was putting anything into action. He got no response. He got no—the normal processes of things when they know there's a big event coming up, which they had a permit for, by the way, that they somehow didn't have those things. It was crickets. And he was asking for help, for support. Even on the day of January 6th, he was asking for support. Nothing. It's disgusting. And you got McConnell coming out standing up for this guy.
On January 6th. So that's my reaction to it. It was a
mistake. Don't watch the video. Listen to what she said about it.
Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks.
Well, yeah, see, our chief law enforcement official thinks this, therefore it must be this, because, you know, the video wouldn't, don't believe your lying eyes. That's what it amounts to. Don't believe the video, because, you know, the law enforcement agent said this. You know, an Officer Sicknick, you know, by the way, you know. Yeah, this is where we're going with this stuff. We're going to talk about more tomorrow because I just don't have enough time. There's more to talk about. A lot more going on in the news. A lot of things happening with Ukraine. A lot of things happening with, oh, other stuff. A lot of other stuff that we will talk about as we go forward. But we have tomorrow will be the show. And then Friday, there will be a live show on Friday morning. That's the plan. So why do I have no background music? I don't know why I don't have any background music. That's why. I didn't have it turned on. some reason. That's, I don't know how I got turned off. That's amazing. All right. Folks, thanks for listening today. Thanks for putting up with my rant and going a little bit longer on the show than normal. I do appreciate you listening and appreciate your support in prayer. We'll pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for what's going on. Pray that things do get exposed and the truth will be known. God bless everybody. Have a great week. What's left of it. We will be back here tomorrow morning. Lord willing.